DOJ drops charges against alleged 722-modder BitClub Ponzi. Figure the U.S. Department of Justice is dropping charges against an alleged operator of BitClub Network, one of the larger cryptocurrency mining fraud cases the department has pursued. The development was reported on July 11, 2026, and closes, at least for one defendant, a matter that prosecutors once tied to about $722 million in deposits. BitClub Network operated from roughly April 2014 through December 2019. It sold shares in what it described as pooled Bitcoin mining operations, promising investors a cut of the rewards those machines supposedly earned. Prosecutors later alleged that the mining story was largely a front, and that money from newer participants was used to pay earlier ones, the defining mechanic of a Ponzi scheme, the pitch that pulled in $750 million. The scheme leaned on a structure that is common to mining scams. Investors did not buy hardware they could see or control. They bought a claim on the output of equipment the operator said they ran, plus commissions for recruiting other people into the same pools. That second part, the recruitment payout, is what turns a questionable yield product into a pyramid. According to the original indictment, BitClub took in the equivalent of hundreds of millions of dollars over its five-year run, with the $722 million figure attached to the volume of investor deposits. Internally, prosecutors said, operators discussed manipulating the numbers shown to investors and referred to their customer base in dismissive terms. The alleged rewards were, in the government's telling, mostly fictional. Mining-backed products sit in an awkward spot for retail investors because the underlying activity is real. Bitcoin mining exists, hardware earns block rewards, and pools genuinely distribute those rewards. That plausibility is exactly what makes a fake version hard to spot from the outside. An investor cannot easily tell a real hashing operation from a spreadsheet that claims to be one. A dropped case is not a verdict. The decision to drop charges says nothing about whether the underlying conduct happened. Prosecutors abandon cases for many reasons: cooperation agreements, evidentiary problems, the death or incapacity of a defendant, a plea resolved elsewhere, or a judgment that limited resources are better spent on other matters. The public filing rarely explains the full calculus, and a dismissal is not an acquittal on the merits. For people who lost money, the practical takeaway is blunt. Criminal enforcement, even when it lands, is not a recovery mechanism. Charges being filed does not return funds, and charges being dropped does not necessarily change how much victims see back. Asset forfeiture and restitution run on separate tracks and move slowly when they move at all. The BitClub matter is a reminder that the headline arrest and the eventual outcome can look very different years apart. This is a pattern regulators keep meeting. The CFTC's recent action against a North Carolina pool operator shows the same core mechanic on a smaller scale. Pooled deposits, promised yield, and payouts funded by the next round of investors. The line between a scheme and a card BitClub is not a spending product, and it should not be confused with the regulated custodial and self-custody card options that route real balances to a Visa or MasterCard rail. The distinction is worth stating plainly because both categories use the word crypto. A crypto card converts an asset you already hold into a payment at the point of sale. There is no promised return for recruiting other cardholders, and the economics are transparent. A fee schedule, an FX spread, and in some cases cashback rewards funded by interchange rather than by new deposits. When a product's returns depend on a growing pool of new participants rather than on fees, interchange, or genuine yield, that is the signal to walk away. Custody is the other dividing line. BitClub investors handed their money to operators and received a claim on paper. Spending from your own wallet inverts that. The balance stays under your keys until the moment of a transaction. Counterparty risk does not vanish, but it is a different and smaller thing than trusting an operator's word about machines you will never see. The measured lesson from a $722 million case is not that crypto is uniquely fraudulent. It is that any product promising a return for bringing in the next person deserves the same skepticism, whether it is denominated in Bitcoin or dollars.